Now it's official. The Electoral College votes are counted, and George W. Bush will be the next president. But the president-elect is learning that he can't expect smooth sailing in Washington. Some of his cabinet appointees have come under attack, and already legislative battles are looming. Joining me now are NPR's Cokie Roberts and Wayne Slater, Austin Bureau Chief for the Dallas Morning News. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bush's choice for Secretary of Labor, Linda Chavez, seems to be running into some trouble over an illegal alien living in her home. Cokie, how big a problem is that?
Well, Bob, as you well know, these nominations sort of take on a life of their own. Linda Chavez was already running into some trouble. Labor was vowing to work against her nomination. She is someone who has a long paper trail as a commentator and columnist, and various ones of her writings were being pored over. But the fact that this woman from Guatemala lived in her home, was apparently paid for doing odd jobs here and there, or given spending money, as Chavez says, the question then becomes, was she really hired? Was she not then paid taxes, Social Security taxes? Did Chavez tell the FBI about it? A whole series of questions starts there. And of course, it's in the wake of the Clinton administration's problems for Attorney General with Zoe Baird and her hiring of a worker and not paying taxes. So I think that this is a potentially big problem for Linda Chavez, depending on the details of the case.
Wayne Slater, are the Bush forces prepared for this kind of thing?
Well, I mean, their instinct is, based on the people I talked to yesterday, is to stay with her. The instinct of the governor all through his administration in Austin has been pretty much to stay with the folks who he's appointed or named or members of his administration, even when they're under fire. But if you look, you'll see how cautious they've been, certainly in the first 24 hours after the initial disclosure about this. These guys want to be sure this is not a parallel situation to Zoe Baird. And if the story is substantially inconsistent with that, if it's different, then they'll stay with her.
There are objections to other appointees, too. Gail Norton as Secretary of Interior, John Ashcroft as Attorney General. Cokie, are there serious confirmation problems there?
I doubt it. Again, you will see various Democratic constituency groups fighting those nominations, environmentalists, civil rights groups, abortion rights groups, and they are putting Democratic senators on notice that this is something that they want to have attention paid. But the real problems with those nominations from the Democrats' perspective are ideological. And generally, a cabinet appointee is not denied a confirmation on ideological grounds. This is a president's cabinet. This is not a Supreme Court nominee. It's not another branch of government. It's not a lifelong appointment. But in the case of Ashcroft, for instance, I think you see some markers put down for a Supreme Court battle, should one come up in the Bush term. And you also see, quite frankly, a good bit of fundraising around these nominees that the various groups will be able to do.
Has Bush made these kinds of appointments in Texas, Wayne?
He has not. He has never really had a problem in Texas, a significant problem in Texas, certainly on the appointment. Now, he ran into a legislature, as we all know now, that was, even though it was in the side of the House, fairly Democratic, it was also fairly favorable. So none of his appointees ran into this kind of problem during the appointment process. What did happen during his term were a few minor problems. There was an appointee that he had named to a criminal justice board who made some racially insensitive comments. There was an appointee on a housing board that got into legal problems. In both cases, the approach of the Bush folks was to lay back and to talk to these people privately. And in the end, both of those appointees bailed out on their own.
Cokie, some Democrats still have bad feelings about the election, if Saturday's electoral vote is any indication.
Yeah, it was actually very interesting to watch, Bob. There was Al Gore, along with Speaker Dennis Hastert, sitting up in the chair in the House of Representatives as the votes were opened from each state and called out. And, of course, when it got to Florida, there was a protest of one member of the Black Caucus after another. Members of the House challenging the vote, but no senators signing on. And Gore presided over it graciously and with good humor. But the truth is, you have very hard feelings on the part of the Black Caucus, in a sense that if there were one Black member of the Senate, that this election could have been thrown back into turmoil by challenging the votes of Florida. So that feeling, I think, will continue. It comes up. It's right there under the surface. Any moment, people will just start fighting again over what happened in Florida. And I think an awful lot of repair work is going to have to be done on the part of the Bush administration to try to win over some goodwill from African Americans and other minorities, which is something that, of course, Bush tried to do during his campaign, tried to do during his convention, but that post-election period sure left a sour note in a lot of people's mouths.
What are the feelings of the Bush administration in that, the incoming Bush administration in that regard, Wayne?
With respect to reaching apart and trying to understand that he has a narrow victory and what to do about it, Look, he understands that on the one hand, he's got to reach across and get not only African-American support, but Democratic support and Hispanic support and support from women. And so he and constituencies that have been typically Democratic, he understands that. But on the other hand, I remember talking to him as we flew into Austin at the end of the process, and I said, if you win this thing, and it would look like he may, if you win this thing, what's going to happen? Are you going to have to, and it's close, are you going to have to deal on some of these issues? And he seemed appalled by the idea. His sense is that he ran on a series of ideas. He talked about those ideas, Social Security, the tax cut, and all the rest of it, and that he intends at the beginning to press those ideas full bore.
Well, Republicans might give him some grief, too. Senator John McCain, his primary opponent, wants to rush the campaign finance reform bill to the floor.
He does indeed, and I think that some of that is holdover from the animus in the primaries between the two of them. But McCain does insist that, look, in the beginning days of an administration, there is no legislation on the floor. It's all just confirmation. So let's put this out there. Everybody knows the arguments. It's not new legislation. And with the addition of Thad Cochran, Republican of Mississippi, to the forces supporting McCain's campaign finance reform bill, he thinks he has enough votes now to be able to stop a filibuster and have the bill come to a vote. Now, who knows? Maybe 10 Republicans will say, no, we can't abandon our president right this early in the process. But yesterday, Senator Nichols, the number two Republican leader, was saying filibuster seems to be over. So I don't know, Wayne, does George Bush at this point say, let's deal?
Absolutely. I think he does. His instinct throughout this, Cokie, has been to deal. I remember the 1997 tax proposal that he made, a significant tax proposal. Until the very end, he was talking about the full scope of this tax proposal. In the end, when he realized in pragmatic sense that he wasn't going to get what he wanted, he dealt. And what did he do at the end of that? Declared victory. In the 99 legislative session, he did the same thing on a smaller scale with putting money into tax cuts as opposed to kindergartens. He pressed his proposal, he pressed it to the end, and then at the very end, when it was time to deal, he dealt and declared victory.
Thank you both very much. Wayne Slater of the Dallas Morning News and NPR's Cokie Roberts.